Hello and welcome back to the Footy Coach Podcast. My name is Jock, your host, and this is where we get on great footy guests to get their insights, their tips, tools, strategies they use throughout their coaching and playing days, and us as coaches, us as players, grab all these tools, grab all these strategies, apply them to our own games and help us take it up a notch and get to the next level. And this week's guest is a two-timer on this podcast. Previously, episode 61, a lot's happened for him since in that last couple of years, and he is now the current AFLW head coach of the mighty Carlton Blues, and it was magnificent to have him on, Matthew Buck, and we talked a whole range of football topics from what he's doing with his current role, transition he made last year, and all things in between. It's a great chat and great to have him back on and talk a heap about his coaching journey, where he's at, things he's learned, and advice for coaches out there coming through the ranks. So awesome to have him on. Before we get stuck in that chat though, thank you for being here. Thank you for sharing this podcast with your friends, other coaches down at your club. We really are here as a resource for you guys, wherever you are in the country or even outside here of Australia, to help develop your coaching, develop players who are listening, take bits and pieces and apply to your games. And that's what we're all about. So thank you to those guys out there who are doing that and passing the good word of this podcast. But I reckon that's enough out of me. Let's get stuck into episode 132. Footy Coach Podcast with Matthew Buck. Welcome to the show again, Bucky. I just had a look back on my podcast here, your episode 61, which was a bit of a couple of years ago now. And plenty's happened for you in that time with your coaching. Obviously, heading up the mighty Carlton Blues now at AFLW as the senior coach. It's really exciting. It was announced last year. Can you talk to me a bit about the last couple of years for you as a coach and I guess the developments and you know, working at the elite top of the tree level now?
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me on again, Jock. I appreciate that. It's been a journey since we last spoke. I think I was in the VFL with the Carlton men's team at the last time we spoke, and I was deep into the kind of the coach learning and loving my role there, and then the AFLW job came up at Carlton, and to be honest, I took some convincing to go for that role, but I was doing a little bit of skill work with the players, the girls at that time, and Brad Lloyd kind of we had a couple of conversations around applying for it, and after a little while and the more skills I did with them, the more I found I enjoyed that kind of thing, and then threw my hat in the ring and went through a pretty rigorous process to kind of get the position, and was fortunate enough to get it in the end. So I guess in a way it was a nice transition into the role because I'd already been at Carlton and knew a lot of people there and had great relationships within the men's program. But yeah, it's fair to say it's been a whirlwind of a journey in terms of my coaching and what I've had to learn along the way over the last 12 months in terms of being head coach of your own program and in particular the AFLW and what all that encompasses as well. So I've had a lot of learning in terms of AFLW football because I didn't watch AFLW football before taking on the role, and I regret that in a way because I've loved the last 12 months in coaching, but I've also loved AFLW football and everything that comes with it. So yeah, that long-winded answer, mate, but there's probably a lot more in it as well. But yeah, I've loved it so far and I'm still loving it now.
Yeah, it's awesome to hear. There's plenty we can dive into. I'd love to just maybe start with the rigorous process you sort of mentioned about getting a role, like an AFL senior role. What does that look like for, you know, listeners out there and coaches listening, you know, coaching community level? You know, what is required to get these type of jobs and what sort of process is it?
Yeah, look, it wasn't dissimilar to kind of going for any job, really. I had to present kind of how I felt about the head coach position for Carlton AFLW team. So did some research into kind of what they had been, and then spoke about my philosophies of football. It was really important that I was nice and honest about that and true to who I am, because last thing we wanted was them thinking I was something that I wasn't. So made sure it was just how I felt about things. And, you know, I wasn't quite sure what they were looking for in terms of a coach. And, you know, every team's different with what they're looking to fill the role with. So it was critically important that I stayed true to myself. And as it found, it was a great alignment in terms of what Carlton were looking for in their football coach. So, you know, that being, you know, I'm an honest kind of coach. Like so that was a big part of how I do it. But I also care for my players. So we talk a lot about high support and high challenge, and that was probably the basis that I went with the position. And you know, I'm a family man as well. So, you know, I care for my players and bring my family along for the ride. So yeah, all those things kind of aligned with what Carlton wanted. And then, you know, it was probably two interviews with different people from the board at Carlton, and then a final kind of interview with Luke Sayers, which was pretty eventful anyway, but it was good. Got the tick offs, got the job. So yeah, it was a long kind of nervous process, but got through it.
Can you elaborate on the Luke Sayers chat? What was the?
Oh no, it's funny. Like, because I was in Sydney for the VFL game, and Greg Williams said, "Oh, we've got to go meet Luke Sayers in it." He was at Crown in Sydney doing it. Had another meeting, so went in there. And Crown in Sydney is an amazing place.
Yep.
And I got there and got to a table, and there was another fella there, and I introduced myself. Diesel was here. So a bit. You know, it was a bit surreal kind of a moment, to be honest. Like, I'm not sure if this suits me at all here at this fancy restaurant in Crown with Williams. And the guy who he was sitting with was the owner of the Crown kind of tower there. So I was like, oh, I'm well out of my depth. So quick conversation with Luke and go through kind of footy. And no, he's a great fellow and a great supporter of the program. And but then I had to find my way back out to Blacktown, really. So That was an expensive Uber on the way back out, mate. But it was all worth it.
It's interesting. It's a good story. I love just picking up on your conversation there about the approach, and you sort of taking an honest approach of where you're at and your coaching philosophy. And ultimately it was a good fit and they found that with you. It reminds me a little bit, and you're one of the success stories on this podcast, from going from one level to another. There's a few. One of the other famed ones I have, obviously, is Craig McRae, got the Collingwood job a couple of years ago. But I think McRae, I remember watching an interview of him post his getting the job at Collingwood, and he went in basically, again, as himself, brought what he was going to bring to the table, and he felt that aligned really well with what Collingwood were after at that time. And then obviously all the successes followed. So really, I think it's a good case study, isn't it? You know, I guess both your situations in terms of getting the right alignment with the club you want and your coaching. But if you're out of alignment and it's just, you're trying to push a, you know, square peg through a round hole, it doesn't quite work, does it?
Yeah. And I think through the interviews you've done over all of your episodes, Jock, you'd hear it, or I've listened to them, and it rings true that you've got to be yourself. And
yep.
And I guess the other part of that is, yeah, you want to coach a club that has your values and what you want to see as well. And I already knew of Carlton's values, et cetera, which, you know, I was quite comfortable with. But yeah, I guess for other coaches out there, that is a really important part of the club that you choose, because as great as it is to get your job as a head coach, they're not all for you. Yeah. So the match is really important.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. You talked a little bit about bringing your family along for a ride, and I know it'd be really all-encompassing job you're one. Can you give us a few things that sort of work for you in that family regard? I know even if you go back to community level, it's a lot of time and hours. Is there anything that might translate between, you know, local footy through what you've done, or anything you've learned that might help out in that space?
Yeah, well, I began in local footy and I had they were really little boys back then. So I've got three boys, you know, all in primary, or one not in primary school even. So so two in primary school, one, you know, in kinder almost. And yeah, they come to everything that they can, and even through my country football days, they love the footy, and you know, I think they love the songs more than they love the footy, to be honest. So every time they win, they like to get in the circle and carry on. So players at all levels are greater at embracing your family, I think. And, you know, and football clubs are such, you know, family places, I believe. And you know, you talk about community football clubs, they do it better than anyone, I think, the way they embrace families and that kind of thing. So, yeah, I've never kind of shied away from that. I remember round one last year of the AFLW, you know, Oscar was at the after-match interview, the press conference, and he asked the first question. So they're front and centre all the time. And players, the players are incredible. You know, the boys and the girls at Carlton are great at getting around the kids and inspiring younger generations. And in particular with the girls, they feel it. Probably more than anyone, that, you know, the responsibility to ensure that there's a passion for the game, and in particular the in the W space. So my family gets rolled into that, and my wife loves all the events we get to go to and that kind of stuff. So there's plenty of new dresses getting around the house and that kind of thing for the Hall of Fames and that kind of thing. So yeah, it's good fun, mate, and it's great to be able to bring your family along.
Yeah, no doubt. We had a pracky match here in Geelong at Deakin, which you'd know well. And then, my young fellas are running around trying to chase them through the change rooms with Harry was trying to have some serious conversation with coaches, and they're just causing havoc. But it's good fun, isn't it? It's all part of it. And I think you can bring them along. It just makes it that much more enjoyable. I've been trying to get them all wound up to come to this weekend's round one games. And I'm sure my wife trying to control a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old is going to be fun for her. But it's all
that,
isn't
it? That is the part. It's easy for us to sit here, mate. Yeah, so, yeah, it's great. No, on, the wives might have another point if you want it.
No doubt. No doubt. They do a bloody good job. So, talk to us about your first season. Obviously, you mentioned a little bit about your first game, press conferences and all that. Just stepping up into, you know, a senior role, let alone an AFL role. Talked about how you embraced all that side of thing, the media and all the bits and pieces. Is there anything that really stood out for you that you thought, gee whiz, I didn't realise that was part of the role?
It was probably one of the important parts of going for the job. That there are a lot of extra things in terms of an AFLW head coach that you would have to be better at, and media being one of those. So, you know, lots of different interviews and obviously press conferences during the week and after games that you have to hit as well and get your messaging right. So, you know, we have a media team that'll brief me with what I need to say and stuff. You know, not what I need to say, but here are some great points that we'd like to hit, and we collectively talk about what the messaging needs to be. So that's a whole new part of footy that kind of I'd never experienced before. Yeah, I haven't had any trouble with it, and I like to build relationships with the media people who are there, which I think helps in the end. And I've done some work with Hamish McLaughlin around, you know, media training and that kind of stuff, which has been really helpful and kind of opened my eyes a little bit more to, you know, the media's role within sport and stuff. But so that's been a big part of the role. You know, the further you go up, the less coaching you kind of do, to be honest. So it feels like coaching is the last thing you do. And, you know, the relationships, building an entire program with a high performance team and making sure that everybody's getting access to the players for the amount of time that they need to, but will best reward the players, I guess, or get the best out of our players. That's probably the biggest challenge and the biggest difference.
Yeah, it's interesting that the coaching aspect, even I've noticed, obviously just taking over the Falcons role in the 16s, and for the last couple of years, it's been a line or a development coach. And when you sort of sit back and let them coach, and sometimes you're thinking, where's the coaching for me? Like, you set the drills and then you put their names on it, and you do, it's a different role. It's a significantly different role, isn't it? And I imagine the higher you go up, it'd be more so. I think I went as far as, I was just trying to actually just Google quickly while I was talking to you. The guy's just taken on the offensive coordinator position at Ohio. The listeners can hold on for me. Buckeyes, offensive coordinator. He went back in that role. I can't think of his name. I'm just going to get it. Chip Kelly. There we go. Chip Kelly. So he was the head coach at UCLA in the American Football College League. And he had an interview and he talked about he wanted to get back to coaching. And in the role he sees now, especially college, it's massive. it's more of a CEO role now. And then he sort of wanted to get his hands on in, you know, and he would want to pass and have the, you know, offensive meeting or defensive meeting, but he wasn't really a part of it. He was just sort of organizing, managing it. And anyway, it's different. Do you see AFL senior coaching roles going that way? Or are they still, you still got your hands on coaching to a degree still, or is it really leaving up to the line coaches to do their work?
As the AFLW continues to grow and expand and the soft cap continues to go up, I think we'll get to a point where the head coach job is much more of a managerial role, similar to the AFL men's role. With that, you choose how much you do, to be honest, Jock. But the other thing you do is you bring in great people to support you. I'm really fortunate that I have some great assistant coaches, development coaches that support my program.
Yep.
And I do a lot of my time working with them around what we want from training and what we want to see out there on the track and how that looks. So a lot of my coaching is probably with some individuals in front of the computer screen going through some edits and stuff, but also then coaching the coaches around, hey, this is what we value inside our team. Let's make sure we're kind of hitting these things as much as we can be. But sometimes you do miss it. And sometimes we'll just grab a player and go out and do some kicking and some touch work and, and do all that kind of stuff as well. So you got to find your balance. But as it increases and grows and the season goes longer, it'll get more difficult to do that, I think.
Yeah, no doubt. I actually just want to jump back into talking a little bit about the media, and you mentioned about building relationships. I was just envisaging that, what that would look like. And I think that'd be really important, wouldn't it? If you could speak to more of that regarding having those relationships with some maybe key media people and be able to talk through where your club's at and be able to rely on that a bit. Could you speak to that a little bit and the importance of it?
Yeah, I think it's like any kind of relationship that you build, you just need to open yourself up a little bit. So you just try to build those relationships with the media people. Because you see them all the time, and you can choose to, close yourself off to that, or you can choose to open yourself up to it and embrace that kind of connection. So, Gemma Bastiani's a great reporter in the W program, and it's just about kind of getting to know Gemma a little bit. Like, I read a lot of her work and I watch a lot of her videos that she does, and she does a fantastic job of doing that. Now, I don't do that for favorable kind of media coverage, but I do it because I know that they have great impact on where football's going and where my football club and the Carlton Football Club is heading. So that relationship's only going to help support both of those things, I think.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I'm not coaching at AFL level, let alone a senior coach. But I think just the bigger view of the game and the growing of the game, like I always find myself thinking about the game in terms of it needs to keep growing. Like it's like my old grandpa said, if you're not growing, you're going backwards. And I just keep thinking about the importance of it. And I grew up a Bomber supporter, and I think Kevin Sheedy did that as well as anyone. I know he had his with few enemies in their media, but he really promoted the game. He's a bit of a marketing coach. I think he sort of talks about himself as, and I've always thought that's important, not to close the media off and hand in hand together, and we want to grow the soft cap. We want to keep growing the game. We want to pay players more. I think the whole thing is all one in a way. And, those TV shows, talk shows, we all listen to them all day long. It's so important to the game, isn't it?
It's another way to kind of access your players as well, because so your players they listen and read and that kind of stuff as well. So you can use the media and your press conferences, etc., to hit some messages into your players as well. And ultimately, that we want the players to get better, and that's just another avenue you can use, I think.
Yeah, I think some coaches have used that pretty cleverly over the years. There's probably a bit of an art and you'd I'm sure you're figuring all that out. Talk to me too about sort of the off season now, obviously building up towards start of season late, a few months away yet. I noticed the other week you guys went on a bit of a bike connection type trip. I'm a bit of a bike fan. I always love cycling. Talk to me about the things you're able to do now in the off season with AFLW women, and obviously the time they have now, more professional, and they can do things like that.
Yeah, big shift within the W this year is that they're now on 12-month contracts, so they get paid over the whole year, which helps them set their life up a little bit better, knowing consistently kind of what money they're bringing in. So what our players have been able to do and manage well is we train on a Tuesday and Thursday during the day, and they've managed to kind of keep 95% of our players have kept out the Tuesday and Thursday off so that they continue to be, you know, elite athletes, because you know, you can't be an athlete from June to December and be an elite athlete. You're an elite athlete all the time. So the 12-month contract has allowed them to have a bit more space in their week to be able to, you know, keep themselves, like, to come into the club to be able to manage their physical performance, I guess. And that's also opened the door to, you know, what are some cool things we can kind of get after as a group that you wouldn't usually be able to do. And one of those was, well, it seems like a crazy idea now looking back, was we were going to ride the Great Ocean Road. So we did. So we started, you know, in Geelong and rode to Apollo Bay. So 100K day down the Great Ocean Road. Half the squad came. And
how good was that ride, by the way?
Yeah, it was magnificent.
Best ride. Yeah.
Well, and a lot of our players, you know, they're footballers, right? Not bike riders. So it was the first time they'd ever done it. And
challenge.
Yeah, you know, Darcy Vessio, who's been AFLW player since day one, said that it was, you know, one of the best experiences they've ever had, and was you know, so grateful for the opportunity to do it. Day two was a killer, riding up into Lavers Hill there, Jock. But
haven't been down that far, to be honest. So I'm usually parking on and go up and down, but yeah, good. Yeah, it would be a few hills up that way.
But mate, things like that have been fantastic. Yeah. The other thing you get to do is, you know, it's just spend a little bit more time with your players outside of the pressures of getting better all the time. And, you know, you get to know what's going on in their life and really build those strong bonds and relationships. So the bike ride was an example of that, which helps our new players that have come in, and we've got 5 new players, this year. So, it was great. That was great. Got a couple of other things in the pipe I'm working on still at the moment, but we'll see how they go.
Good, those things. We've been lucky enough in the 16s, probably a bit different to when you were running the show, but we started back in November, so similar time to the 18s. We had a bit more time to do a few things, and like we got down to Torquay for a bit of a day, and just being able to get that connection piece in it's so important, isn't it? When you get to spend, we only spent half a day, but probably the longest period we've ever spent together as a group, and you still just be able to develop those relationships. And I think it's so important this day and age with how you play football and, you know, developing that synergy off the field, but then it sort of comes onto the field. Really important stuff.
Yeah, and I listened to Natalie Wood on your podcast, I think last week, and she speaks about belonging and care, and no one does it better than that. And she's a terrific coach, and, you know, for them to know that you care, but for them to know that each other care about each other. And when things get tough, you know, that's when that really counts. So in the end, if you can go to a workplace that you love going into and you love the people that are there and you know that they care for you, you're probably going to work better. You're probably going to be better as an individual and as a team. So the time you put into that at any level, I think, is valuable time. So to all those community coaches out there that are thinking, you know, do I put more time into my football plan, my game plan, or do I put more time into my relationship plan? Yeah, I'd probably, you know, out of your $10, put $8 into your relationship plan for sure.
It's interesting. I took good note off Harry Corrigan down here with the Geelong VFL. And again, we did it. The VFL one went down to Aries and did it night down there. But it was just all about, based around connection and education as well. I think in the past, a few years ago, if you asked me, I would have been, you know, more than let's go do some maniacal physical challenges than this. But it sort of has shifted, I feel. And I think shifted for the better, I reckon. I remember when I played, like, you get kind of stressed going to these camps sometimes because you'd be worried about what's going to happen and what are they going to do to me at midnight and are they going to wake me up at 5 a.m. and get me running 10Ks or whatever? But it's, I think taking a bit more relaxed approach, it probably would have suited me much more as a player, I think, this the way they're doing it these days.
Yeah, and look, you know, generations of people have changed, right? And maybe what worked back in the day, certainly wouldn't work now. And different things we value inside of footy clubs. inside of footy clubs now. So, building those relationships. And, yeah, camps don't have to be that anymore. You don't have to be at the beach and throwing up. Like, that's not quite your measure of success anymore. So, if you can help players build their relationships on these things, I think that's important.
I think Juddy actually read his book. He sort of wasn't too pleased when he was, 15 years ago having to do those type of camps. He's just thinking, what's the benefit of it? Maybe he was a little bit ahead of his time, because that's sort of probably where it is nowadays, with where it sits. Can you talk to us about, I know we obviously had you on a couple of years ago, but is there anything you've changed and developed with maybe a game day routine or getting ready for a game week? Is there anything that you've added that you found really effective for you?
I probably do more walkthroughs with my team than anything.
Yep.
So the ability for the players to understand the different situations in the game is really important at our level. Spend a lot of time around our situational training as well has probably been a big shift. So those two things are really important to us. So the way we play late in games when it's tight, and the way, either side of the coin on that one, whether you want to win the game or save the game. So that, and then and walkthroughs in terms of where we need to be for our stoppage structures, et cetera. We spend a little bit of time doing that just for player understanding and clarity so that they can just play the game when it happens, to be honest. So that's probably a big one. I probably used to worry about a theme a lot, like in going into games, and I'm not sure that had great impact on the players all the time. So I love a theme, and I still do, but I probably don't. If there's not a one there, I'm not too stressed about that. And used to try and get a new one every week, but sometimes the great ones can latch onto that for a little bit longer. So spending your time getting your values right has been important for me, so we can latch back into the values rather than some themes week to week. So that's probably been a big shift in my coaching as well, just as you grow and, get more professional, I guess, and learn more. So, they're probably three big areas, Jock, I think, where I've changed over the last couple of years.
Yeah, it's interesting, the walkthroughs. I've been talking to a couple of assistants about this week. Obviously, it's game week for us. Bring the squad together for a couple of games. It's a pretty short and sharp season for the under-16s. But, a walkthrough I've actually got that in the training schedule tonight for 10, 15 minutes just to walk through stoppages around the ground, what that looks like. And these kids are, 15, yeah, going on 16. They're sort of still learning the basics. But I think it's spot on, isn't it? Even through community level, you could do a lot of this stuff. This time of year too, I don't think you need to do it in January or November, but just a week or two before the game, I think getting that knowledge into them about what it looks like. And then if you are making adjustments throughout the season, spot on, I reckon that'd work well.
Yeah, and it's really important to get your players to talk through why and how and what they think, because, they're the ones ultimately on the field making those decisions. So you can take the intensity out of it by doing some walkthroughs and just say, hey, what happens now? Like, talk me through it. What's your role within that? Okay, what if this happens? And just throwing different little curveballs at them and seeing what their answers are, because inevitably you'll find some crazy answers out there, and it's a great time to just go, oh, that's a really interesting point. Maybe try and think about it this way and get them all on the same page with what the thinking is there. And monotony with it's important to me, that we're doing it over and over to really concrete that. But just getting the players to talk through the roles is important too.
One of the things I found too is, like, we've obviously, you do your meetings as well, and you have it up on the slides and people look at it, because you obviously got the different learners, don't you, within a group, about how they take it on board. And then others will much prefer to walk it through on field, and then others want to talk about a lot, about what it looks like. It's I guess, as a coach, trying to hit those different markers for how players absorb information.
Yeah, absolutely. Different ways they learn, et cetera. So some are great at writing it and they're learning it that way. Some others, when they close the book, it's gone from their mind. So, I think we all know all footballers are different, right? So being able to give them different situations and different types of learnings, you're dead right, mate, is really important.
Yeah, spot on. Is leadership groups, I've just been a topic for mine, and I'm sure a lot of coaches out there with the season coming up are selecting captains and leadership groups. Where's your latest thoughts on that and what you like that to look like for you? Is have you had any profound thoughts on that and developments in that space?
Yeah, I'm really fortunate at Carlton that I have Belinda Clark, Australia's best female cricketer ever, has a statue outside the SCG. She's our leadership consultant. Yep. So I work really closely with Belinda around our leadership and what we want that to look like. I think we're probably working through some phases. So last year we did a lot of learning with our leaders around what leadership is and found some great examples of that. Spent some time with the Australian women's cricket team to see how they did it as well. So fortunate in that regard. But I guess our foundation was learning what great leadership was and what it could look like for us at Carlton. This year we'll move into more what that looks like on the field and what how we do that at training and transfer it into game, really. So that'll be the tip of the spear, I guess. And then, you know, we're fortunate with the time we have to have mentor groups where we can care and connect with each other and use mentor leaders to help us kind of facilitate that, which gives us some great leadership density as well. Like, I guess the first bit of our leadership journey was that foundation was really important. And now it's okay, let's start transferring it onto our training and hopefully transferring from training to game as well. So, does that answer your question, John?
No, it does. It does. It's always it's a space that's I'm always interested in.
I guess, you know, and I was through community football, I've seen some great leadership groups that I've been fortunate enough to work with as well. And I think one thing that's always been a consistent thing throughout it is probably portfolios for the different leaders that they can kind of sink their teeth into. Yeah. And, you know, one of those might be a communication kind of thing. You're not in charge of communication. That's not singularly your role, but you're the person who's on the lookout to reward that behavior when you see it. Where someone else might be more about connection, and you're out there to reward that when you see it and provide some opportunities for the group to kind of connect. So leadership groups there to help the coach kind of do their job better, and sometimes take the load off as well, and help grow the group in a different way. So. And that's the way I've kind of seen it. I'm always interested in it as well. Like lots of different teams and sports around the world do it really differently. That's the way we do it at the moment.
In the last couple of years, is there any specific books or documentaries you've been checking out and you really, really enjoyed and got a lot out of?
Good question. I'm reading a book called Do Hard Things at the moment, which is...
Jesse... Is that the one? No.
I actually have no idea. It's just sitting behind me here. Steve Magnus is the author, I think. Has been an enlightening read around what it actually means and how it helps you from doing hard things. So I've enjoyed that one. In terms of documentaries and stuff, I'm actually taking a little bit of a dive into South African rugby at the moment. Which is obviously an amazing story, the history around South African rugby. So, everything from Invictus to Chasing the Sun, which is a new doco, which is about to drop their second season. So there are a couple of things I've been doing at the moment.
Perfect, mate. Well, really appreciate you coming on the show and giving us your time. I know you've obviously got plenty on. All the best for the season later this year. And, we look forward to talking again down the track.
No, thank you, Jock. Thanks for your time, mate. And I look forward to your support of the Carlton AFLW team, mate, this year. And
no doubt.
Good luck to your team as well, mate. I hope you have a great year.
We will. Thank you. Cheers.
No worries. Thanks, Jock.
Before you guys take off, we have the Footy Coach newsletter called A Few Handy Points. You can get that on thefootycoach.com.au. Simply enter your email into the box and we'll shoot that to you, and you'll get a bunch of recommendations from documentaries to podcasts to books, things that I've been reading and checking out that I loved, and I think it's worth looking for yourself. You'll get that along with, Coast to Ponder, latest news of the footy coach with camps, memberships, club days, private coaching, anything news from our end, and anything that is a resource to help you as well with what we do here. So jump on to thefootycoach.com.au, whack in your email as mentioned, and away we go with that, sending out that to you monthly for free. Outside of that, we hope you are into your season as this episode comes out. It is April 12th, magnificent time of year where footy seasons are away. Luckily, my couple of teams have been into it for the last few weeks, and local footy, junior footy gets started this month. So great time of year. Hope you're enjoying that. Hope your team is absolutely excited up to the eyeballs of enthusiasm for the season. And we'll keep this podcast rolling your way to help complement what you're doing. So enjoy your week, and we'll speak to you soon. Cheers.